listen to that sound. Ooh, that's good. Wait, 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 wait for it. Wait. Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know what?
I mean, I didn't hear anything. Your noise-canceling microphone just edited it out.
You didn't hear the like the pop?
The pop. Yeah,
what do
yeah,
you have there?
Oh, okay. I am going back to my ways, and I have a nice, juicy bottle of Michter's. Yum, yum, yum. Yeah, I'm tired of this whole being sober on Mondays thing. It's not working out well for me. It makes Tuesdays un-fucking bearable. What about you, Jerry? What are you rocking tonight?
I have a Coke and bourbon cream.
Ooh.
Yeah. Tasty.
I would ask to see it, but...
Yeah, sorry. And I'd just be holding up a glass, or a mug, I should say, you know, an insulated cup, so you wouldn't be able to see it. In order for you to see it, I'd have to tip it towards the camera, and then the contents would probably just be a slave to gravity and splash all over my computer, and then I would no longer be able to stream. So it's probably for the best.
Hey, Jerry, are you right, like on top of your microphone? You might be a little too close.
I'm like a few inches from it.
Oh, okay. All right. See, now you sound good. I don't know. Anyway, okay. So, gentlemen, hello.
A little bit.
Oh, okay. Kevin, what are you rocking over there?
Some good old coffee.
Oh, God. Truly an old man. But not screaming, just being caffeinated.
At 9, almost 9:20 at night.
Yeah, shouldn't you be not drinking coffee at 9 p.m. at night?
Maybe it's the only thing keeping him up.
Okay. All right. So, Jerry, I know you... I swear to God, I don't remember the story of why the cops were called on your house. I know you just refreshed us because you said someone in your house was loudly streaming a horror game and screaming on TikTok, and the cops came to your house. I don't remember you telling that story at all.
I'm pretty sure I told it, but anyway, I mean, if you don't remember, it was now, I guess, a couple of months ago. My daughter was playing a horror game on Twitch, and she was...
Which game?
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was called.
Well, go wake her up and ask her. This is important information. These are the kind of details that our watchers and listeners need to know.
Yeah, well, also, you should have prepared me for that.
I'd like to know your children's taste in the horror genre. Was it Amnesia? Was she playing Amnesia?
I don't think so. It was like cartoony, like a Five Nights at Freddy's-esque kind of thing.
Oh, okay. So I no longer care. All
right. Right, yeah. But anyway, she's playing this game and screaming bloody fucking murder. And she had her window open. So apparently some neighbor was concerned and called the cops on us. And I was just downstairs playing a game with my friend. And all of a sudden,
we can't go one podcast without mentioning Jeff, can we?
No, of course not.
When it comes time to rebrand and rename this podcast, I already know what to name it. It'll just be like an evening with Jeffrey.
There you go. You know, and he'll be with us in spirit every episode.
As long as he's in spirit, I don't want to see his fucking face again.
Oh, that's a fancy cup. Look at that.
It's iridescent.
Ooh, wow.
Anyway, finish
fancy pants. So yeah, so like, doorbell rings, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. And I go up to the door, and there's like a cop there, and I assume that maybe he's just checking in, or like, you know, there's an Amber Alert, or the kid's, you know, lost or something. Did you see X, Y, or Z? And I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, you know, is everything okay here? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, we have reports of someone screaming, you know, crazy. And I'm like, maybe it could be my daughter. I went upstairs. And I'm like, oh, I said, you know, do you want me to go get her? And he's like, yeah, definitely. So I go upstairs. And she had her little I'm broadcasting sign up, but I just like walked into her room and she gives me this look. And I'm like, the cops are here because of you. And she's like, what? And I'm like, you're screaming so loud. Someone called the cops. And she's like, ha ha ha, fuck you. She's like, you know, like you see, I'm streaming. I'm like, no, you need to come downstairs now. And she's like, please. For real? And I was like, yes, for real.
Please tell me the story ends with someone getting tasered.
I was going to say, that would have been so funny. You know, he would have snarfed all his bourbon.
not his daughter. Like, I don't know. Somebody. Okay, like if Jeff got tased, this would have been amazing.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, she came downstairs, she talked to the cops, they had a good laugh, and...
Hey, officer, you want to play Wingspan?
Oh, I heard of that game. No, thank you.
It's okay, guys, I got him. It's fine. We don't have to play a shitty board game.
He's like, wait, what did you say? Wingspan?
But, yeah, so, that's pretty much it. It was amusing.
Was the police at least understanding, or were they?
Oh yeah.
Did they go up to your daughter and be like, "Okay, honey, if you're being held against your will, cough twice."
Yeah, blink once.
Yep. Yeah. Blink your left eye.
Jerry, sorry, I gotta pause here for a second. Once again, when you're talking, it sounds like there's a jet engine behind you.
I don't know. I have nothing here, so. I thought we squared this away before.
Yeah, it just started when you started telling the story for some reason. There's just like every time you talk, you hear there's like, woo.
I don't know. I went out and I bought a fancy microphone
now it sounds fine. It's so weird. So I wonder if these microphones are picking up something like an AC blowing or like a fan or your laptop fans. They might be very sensitive, so they might need to, I don't know.
I thought the whole thing was they like cancel that shit out and they're directional and everything.
They should. That's how condenser mics work. Did you get a condenser mic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you?
I even have one of those fancy little panels to make that
spittle panel
E's and the T's sound nicer.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I guess I'll have to take your word for it. Okay. All right. So, I'm a couple episodes behind on posting our episodes, on posting our previous episodes. But man, I just got finished editing and posting the one where you went off about immortality, mortality, transcendence, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, that was a fun one to edit. It was a good one. No, it was good. It was really, really good. It was just very, how should I put this?
Choppy.
Yeah. No, it wasn't choppy. It was no. As far as the mood of it was concerned, it was on the more serious spectrum of things. Let's put it this way. So
okay.
it was smart. It was some interesting topics, and it was definitely outside the what we usually talk about, which basically means I barely talked through it, and that made for a huge improvement.
Oh my god.
There was a lot less skippy in that episode, and I think it's our best episode yet.
Don't be so down on yourself, Skippy.
I'm just not even. Yeah, yeah, no.
Don't take that away from us.
but that was very good. A little morbid, but pretty good. So I'm guessing this one's going to be probably a little more lighthearted. So in order to keep it lighthearted, hang on, let me just get ready to take my headphones off. Kevin, tell us your thoughts on the Barbie movie. And go.
He's taking off his headphones.
Wait, why is he stabbing his eyes and his ears out?
Well, first of all, if you're into, you know...
Is it over? Is he done?
Not yet.
I thought it was pretty good. There were some, like, sad parts and growing up parts. It's like growing up in modern now times and the crisscross of all, you know, all the things people have to go through between, you know, kids to midlife crisis, a lot of gender stuff in there.
Wait, hold on a second.
Right, stereotypes and
it's an anti-patriarchy, man-hating transfest.
No, not
saying.
I wouldn't call it that. It is an anti-patriarchy, but I thought it had like a respectful representation, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. So I have a feeling this is one of those movies that like you're going to have to take me kicking and screaming to see. But like once I actually watch it, I'm going to like it.
That's not saying much.
No, because here's the thing. One of my dear friends him and I don't agree on anything. I expected him to like this movie, and he was texting me from the theater saying how much he hates it and how it's a complete waste of his life and he wants to kill himself and he can't believe that he went to actually see this movie. That gives me hope, and that gives me a
You might actually like it.
Yeah, no, him. No, I mean, when I say him and I don't agree on anything, I mean him and I do not agree on anything. Like, I would say my record with him is worse than with you, Kevin. Like, way worse. Yeah. So, yeah, I actually see. Here's the thing. Like, I wouldn't even mind seeing it. I really can't stand Margot Robbie. Like, if it was anybody else in that role, I would be way more excited to see it. I really can't stand her. Like, it's just, if it was just anybody else.
I think she's adorable.
I think she's, yeah, I don't have any problem with her.
That's cool. I respect your, let's call it an opinion. That's fine.
Not one of those, you know, everyone's got an asshole. Everyone's got an opinion.
Why don't you like her?
Oh, it's just a personal thing. It's not Oh, by the way, I shouldn't say I don't like her. I don't know her personally. I'm saying as far from the actor's standpoint, I don't like her. I think she's annoying and untalented. I don't know. I think she's a terrible actor. That I don't understand why she's in things.
Maybe this is her like magnum opus. You don't know. You haven't seen it yet.
I know, that's the thing. I can't really talk about it without seeing it. I'll probably see it eventually. It's colorful. Oh, it's also directed by what's her name?
It's not colorful, right? Other than pink, really.
Well, okay, yeah, but it's also directed by Greta, whatever her name is, who did Lady Bird, and that. Oh God, like, that whole genre of movies, I can't fucking stomach. Greta Gerwig, I think her name is. Yeah, but whatever.
I don't know if I saw anything from her.
I should see it at some point. Everyone says it's really good. And the best thing is.
And then Oppenheimer.
Well,
hold on. It's the other one, like the Dual Weekend.
And the right winger saying it. Did you see Oppenheimer? Oppenheimer?
No, not yet.
Okay. All right. We need to see because it's a Christopher Nolan movie. All right. I'm curious how far up he is. I can't talk. Never mind.
Did you hear some of the parts of the movie is black and white and some of it's like color?
Whoa. What revolutionary movie making. Does it also travel slowly back in time? Like every time?
In reverse.
Yeah. No. No.
It's not amazingly unique, but it's not common.
I have to say, the reviews... Okay, so here's the thing. The reviews that I've heard of Oppenheimer were on a different level. It's not that people were saying like, oh, it's a really good movie. People were like, this is one of the most important films ever made. This is a movie you have to see. This is like once in a lifetime type of film that has to be seen, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I mean, I will definitely see it at some point. As you know, I don't go to movie theaters anymore because I have self-respect. So I'm going to wait until it comes to streaming. And maybe I'll do a little Barbie Oppenheimer weekend in my house with a little bit of whiskey. You know, we'll see what happens.
Could be like,
sounds good.
Ken.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely watching it way more for Ryan Gosling. I fucking love him. So, yeah, I'm way more excited to see him. Also, Michael Cera's in it. And
oh, really?
Oh, look, everybody's in it. What's his name is in it?
There's a ton of guys in it.
Yeah.
From
Ten Rings is in it.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot his name, too.
I feel like such an asshole because I don't know his name.
Damn it.
We all know why I don't remember his name. It's not just that I'm bad with names. So he's in it. Michael Cera's in it. Actually, you know who's in it? What is her name? She was an Ugly Betty, and she was in a Superstore. The Spanish actress, Ferreira. America Ferrera.
I think I know who you're talking about.
She's awesome. I love her. So
in what?
Good. She's in it. She was her breakout role was in a show called Ugly Betty, and then she was one of the main characters in Superstore. I'm just blanking on her name, but because that's what I do. But she's really awesome. I'm trying to think. Yeah, there's like a lot of. Oh, I mean, Kevin, I gotta ask, how did you handle the Will Ferrell presence in that movie? I know he's a humor comedian. You don't really enjoy that much, so
he there's been enough where I have like he can redeem himself in some movies. I think he did this one spot on. It was sort of a goofy enough, let's say, main villain to not take that side too, like he didn't steal the show is my point. That's a good way to put it. It stayed on Margot and like that whole crew.
Oh, okay.
That side of the story. So, I mean, he's in there and he's the main bad guy, but he did a good job in sort of like goofing around. And I thought it was actually a good balance for the movie.
Okay. Well, that's good. It also, by the way, both movies, both Oppenheimer and Barbie, reversed this weird trend that's been going on this year of like movies, like not bombing, but terribly underperforming. Well, okay, in like the case of The Flash. Well, all right. It's hard to call a movie that makes like $300 million a bomb, but The Flash technically bombed.
Yeah, but when they cost $400 million to make.
Yeah, but then you have to wonder, why the fuck is a movie costing $400 million to make? Like, there's nothing unique about it. There's nothing... okay, and again, I'm coming at this from a perspective, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm sorry, but from what I have seen, how is The Flash... I know a lot of money went into marketing, and that's actually why they're taking such a huge loss on it. But supposedly it had a budget of over $200 million. How? Michael Keaton is not that expensive. I mean, I love the man, but he's not exactly one of the most like highly paid actors in Hollywood. What's his name? What's the name of the sociopath who plays The Flash? Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
He's not like a big name actor. So the money went to
the digital Flash effects.
Yeah,
I'm
probably
sure they have like 400 different digital effects.
But you know, the special effects is the one thing that movie got like ripped for, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. There was a style to it that they were trying to defend, and people were like, "That really just doesn't look good."
Yeah, the director literally went and did a bunch of interviews where he said, "Oh, we know the special effects look like shit. We did that intentionally." Wink, wink.
Wait, and everyone was really?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, he said they were trying to do this weird distorted thing, and people were like, "You made it look like PlayStation 2 graphics. This looks like absolute garbage." The show on WB has better special effects than this movie did. So I don't know where that money went. I'm guessing some Hollywood exec just snorted it up his nose without even waiting to spend it on cocaine. Which is fine. Which is perfectly fine. If they came out and said, "Look, we just made a $200 million movie. $190 million of it was basically drugs." That's fine. I'm okay with it. Just be honest about it. So yeah, so like The Flash bombed, quote unquote bombed. I'm trying to think of everything else. Everything else underperformed, like the new Mission Impossible movie, which is also making like about $300 million. That's considered a huge disappointment. And that's got like, you know, Tom Cruise in it, who just made over $1 billion on the Maverick movie. And then I'm forgetting everything. Look, everything has just been underperforming. And all of a sudden, like, Barbie and Oppenheimer come out, and all of a sudden the box office, like, explodes. So, good, I guess? I mean, I'm kind of...
Maybe? Or... I
mean, well, because look at it. Well, I mean, look at it this way. Is it looking at this and saying people are tired of seeing sequels and reboots and follow-ups, which is why The Flash, which is part of this failing DC Universe bullshit, like, that failed. Is it... And then, like, Mission Impossible is a sequel. And there's a couple other movies, again, that underperformed. That
I'm pretty sure all of this...
But then Barbie and Oppenheimer are, like, new properties. And all of a sudden, they're doing really well. So, I know. I'm sorry. Indiana Jones bombed, like, really badly. So, and that's, like, the fifth movie.
Time for creative... artistry instead of freaking chain stuff.
Right. And then what was the recent... forget it. So, I mean, if you're going a little bit farther back, Ant-Man did really bad. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 did well, but not, like, didn't really blow any records or anything like that. It did all right. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, two movies that aren't linked to any previous property or... you know, it's not a reboot or a sequel to anything that came before it, and they're making a ton of money. Even the new Pixar movie bombed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, I guess that's not fair to mention because that's technically not a sequel or anything like that. But everybody knows what to expect with the Pixar movie. You take some objects that don't have life or souls and go, what if this had a soul? Like, what if appliances had a soul? What if cars had a soul? What if bugs had a soul? You know, all this stuff. Like, so, it's possible that people are just really, like, thirsty for something new instead of reboots, remakes, and sequels to everything that already exists. Like, why would you go see another movie, especially with all the streaming services going on, if something is, like, you know, part 7 of an ongoing series? At this point, you almost look at it like it's a show. Like, all right, I'll just sit at home and wait until I can watch it on Disney Plus or HBO Max or The Cock or Hulu or any other streaming service. Why the what's the point? It's just another episode of Tom Cruise saves the world again.
Why? Yeah. I don't know. And like, I don't know if I would actually classify these as completely new material, because Barbie is capitalizing on what, like, 60 years of being an iconic toy. And Oppenheimer.
Oh, but that one.
Kind of like, you know, that's almost like a documentary.
Yeah, but Barbie's leveraging that, like, just using that and tying it to its message is part of its brilliance, actually. And it's not like the brand is going to carry the message. The message is almost going to carry the brand in that example.
But people,
it's not a good example of, yeah, until you watch it.
Right. I mean, Barbie.
But there's huge buzz. You know.
There was, and they did great marketing, by the way, that whole plan where they decided, so actually Tom Cruise started it, but then Oppenheimer and Barbie rode that train. Their whole thing was that they were advertising each other's movies. So, like, Tom Cruise, when Last Mission Impossible movie came out, he did this whole thing where he's like, hey, make sure you go see Barbie and Oppenheimer. These are awesome movies. You know, let's all go back to the theater. It's going to be great. And then all the Barbie people were like, oh, you guys have to go see Mission Impossible and Oppenheimer. They're awesome. And then the Oppenheimer people did, oh, my God, you got to go see Barbie and Mission Impossible. And unfortunately, Mission Impossible wasn't really helped by this. But it came out a couple weeks before. But the whole, what was it called? Barbieheimer or Oppenbarbie, whatever the fuck it was called. Like, there was a...
Barbieheimer, like, or something.
Yeah, people were laughing at it, but it totally became a very successful marketing
stunt. Right.
And people went to see both.
Like, yeah.
An insane amount of people were, you know, posting shit about it. Here I am, you know, seeing both movies. Here's me happy at Barbie. Or actually, most people were like, here's me crying at Barbie and actually sort of indifferent during Oppenheimer. Apparently Barbie was more depressing than Oppenheimer.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It probably was.
Yeah. Well, because Oppenheimer
is sort of more serious, except that the other one is more, let's say, larger scope. It also appeals to, let's say, 18 to or teen to 30. Like, it's a younger generation. We're getting on the, we're like a generation behind for that movie, even though it's a good message and a good movie overall.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. So, one of the things that the friend that I mentioned who went to see Barbie and was just texting me asking me to come down and end his life, he said that it's not a movie for kids and it's not a movie for adults. He was like, I don't know who this is for. How did you feel about it? Was it more of a kid movie, adult movie, or was it one of
It's multi generational, like, but no, it blends, but yeah, actually, that's a good point. It does more. I was originally thinking it's. I think what made it do well is a lot of movies are sort of like too old in, let's say, the formula. So, like, our generation will go see some of these, like, action films and whatever. And I think what's happening is the younger generation is getting attracted to movies like Barbie and whatever. I don't know. It's a guess.
Yeah. I mean, did you find the humor to be more adult-like or child-like, or sort of like walking that line?
Not child. It would be like, you know, late teen to 20s and 30s. And then, I mean, there were jokes that I was laughing at. And
Okay. So would you, don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but like, so, for some reason, when I think of the Barbie movie, I think of the kind of humor that you find in something like the Lego movie, for example. Like, is it akin to something like that?
Those were great movies.
I'd say a little bit more than that, but not far off. Like,
what do you mean more than that?
No, I'd say, I mean, that's maybe a very younger generation, but like not because it's because, you know, people our age will be like, Legos are awesome, you know, grew up on that stuff.
I thought Legos was actually very like adult.
It wasn't, it didn't, I mean, there was definitely some, you know, toy reference jokage that they tried to make, you know, adult, you know, double entendre stuff or whatever, but the whole movie was about patriarchy and I mean,
what do you
mean,
like, Barbie, not the Lego movie, right? I don't remember the picture.
No, the Barbie movie. Okay. But I thought it did it like in both directions pretty well, and then like it basically had like a matriarchy in the Barbie universe and a patriarchy in the human universe, and then like the whole movie's about like neither one is good. It's got to be somewhere in the middle. So whatever.
Oh, okay.
But the jokes, it had enough light-hearted stuff. I mean, there was tearjerker moments too. So it's like whatever. It played the full range of emotions with humor and everything.
I laughed. I cried. It touched me.
Wait, Jared, did you see it?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
You could have did that a different order, and we would have known for sure you didn't see it.
No, he's talking about Oppenheimer. Like, he was in there in the back of Oppenheimer.
It touched me. I laughed. And then I cried.
There's two explosions happening in this theater. If you're not hurting anybody and you brought your own paper towels, you're brilliant. Plus, come on, man, Cillian Murphy. Have you seen that man?
I'm a sucker for physics.
All right. Well, besides that last part, yeah, Kevin, you're doing a good job of convincing me that I should see it at some point. God damn it! I can't believe I'm going to see the Barbie movie. Fuck my life. All right, fine.
Ugh. Tell, make a surprise to your wife and say, hey, we need to go see this.
Oh, no, we're not going to go to the theater. It's going to be months before I see it on wherever the hell it's going to be streaming. Absolutely 100% am done with theaters. There's just no way.
Well, don't see it alone.
Yeah, it's fine. Jerry, did you see anything worth noting?
Movie-wise, no. I have been watching...
Movie shows, doesn't matter.
What is it? Secret Invasion. I've been watching...
I forgot to watch your... Completely forgot that that was
on. Yeah, me too. I think we've been, like, waiting.
Yeah, I think Wednesday is the last episode, so you could watch it all, you know, as one big movie.
Oh, that'll be good.
Is it any good?
I think it's decent. I mean, it's not amazing. It relies a little bit on the, who is this person real? Is this person not real? And then there's some characters that, you know, you're like, oh, they're Skrulls, but their behavior is, like, completely different than it's always been. So it's kind of like, it seems like a little bit of a stretch. It's out of character. And I get that these Skrulls are supposed to be putting on an act for all these years, but... You know, it just seems out of place.
Ah, fuck me. They're going to retcon a bunch of shit, aren't they? They're going to do... again, I haven't seen it, but is it going to thing where they're going to be like, ooh, this character in all these, like, in the previous movies or shows was a Skrull all along kind of thing?
Yeah. There is some of that. So.
That's such a cop-out.
So, they have some of that.
That's a shame.
But it's decent. It's, like, interesting. Some of the things that they do, you know, it's all about the Super Skrulls and, you know, that kind of stuff. And how they work that in is kind of interesting. But for the most part... it's fine. It's not amazing, but I'll watch anything Marvel just because it all kind of ties into everything else. So,
wait, did it get it? I guess I have to watch it, but I wonder if there's Super Skrulls, they'll do mutant stuff, like humans are becoming mutants.
Oh well, they're doing a bit of that with what's her name with. Miss Marvel.
Kamala Khan, yeah.
Yeah, she's supposed to be. Or is that... I'm getting confused. Is that only in the comics? Or are they doing that in
no,
the
No, she's a mutant.
They do. Because she's a mutant in the comics now. Because she died in the comic books and then they brought her back. But she's technically now a mutant.
No.
I don't know whether she...
I thought all the power comes from that bracelet that she puts on. I guess it only works with her genetic code or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Did you watch the Ms. Marvel show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, you guys watched it? Okay, I didn't see it, so I don't know.
The Marvels trailer came out too.
Yeah.
Just like last week or something.
Okay, so here's my prediction, and it's honestly I don't have a horse in the race kind of thing. I'm going to say this right now. The Marvels is going to be the first Marvel movie that is legitimately going to, like, bomb. Badly. Yeah, it's going to bomb.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I am very sure. And I'm not rooting against it. I don't care either way. Like, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, I'll make my jokes, but it actually doesn't look that bad. But considering the fact that the Ms. Marvel show did not do well and was not liked... And Brie Larson does a respectable job of pissing off all them, like the trolls that have been on that whole thing. So she's not exactly a fan favorite currently. I have a feeling that movie is going to tank, like severely.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me just because I don't feel like those are big Marvel. Players, you know,
they're not, and it's the fact that the trailers are getting 1,000 like dislikes. But then again, you never know. Barbie was also getting like a ton of hate, and is still getting a ton of hate from a certain crowd. So you know, you honestly like you never know.
Can't imagine what crowd that would be.
Yeah, this is not a good thing. We're gonna talk about politics on the show.
No, never. Mm-hmm. So. I've been watching that. I've been watching the latest season of Always Sunny, which is just great. actually the very last episode. It's called Dennis Takes a Mental Health Day. I started watching it and I'm like, oh, this is funny and cute, and yeah, that's real. You know, like, I see that. I totally get that. And then it started getting weird. I'm not going to say what, but I'm like, oh, did this show just, like, jump the shark? Like, what the fuck is going on here? And then, like, at the very end, it was just, like, fucking pure genius. It was such a good episode.
What are they up to, season 15 or something?
I think so. 15 or 16.
God, I'm, like, 3 seasons behind.
But... And then this season of What We Do in the Shadows has been great. It's just fucking hilarious.
It just came out?
What We Do is probably up to, I think, the third episode now. Or the
oh, shit. I didn't realize.
I'm still catching up with season 4.
Yeah, watch it, because this is amazing. It's great.
I hope so. I'm not done with season 4, but season 4 has been kind of eh.
No, well, they totally make up for it in this. I mean, there are like extended periods of time where, like, I'm just belly laughing at the... It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God. All right. That's cool. Right.
Okay. I got to go say it. All right. On the other end of the spectrum, I am one episode away from finishing Ted Lasso. And... I gotta say, it's Well, hold on, Kevin. Are you done with the show?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so you're done. Jerry, have you seen it or have any?
No, I've never seen it, and it just doesn't seem to appeal to me.
Okay, so, that's an understatement. So, at first, I was thinking, all right, it's a show that, and I haven't seen the very last. I have one episode left, and everybody says, oh, this show really, like, stuck the landing. It was great, and that might be the case. However, I have to say, I was originally going to put it in the same category as, like, Game of Thrones or Lost, where a show starts out really well and then just declines and just falls off a cliff. But Ted Lasso is only 3 seasons, and I would say I have never in my life witnessed a show just completely fall apart in a way that this show has in such a short time, because it's only 3 seasons. So you have, like, season 1 that was awesome. Loved it. Both my wife and I watched it. Absolutely loved it. Couldn't wait for season 2. Season 2 was uneven. It was, I remember we were watching and we're like, what is happening?
Everything, yeah, it turned into psychological growth.
Right, yeah. So,
like, and you had to explore each character.
Right, and season 3, we saw the first episode, and she's like, yeah, I'm just, like, we forced ourselves to watch the first episode of season 3 because we didn't really like season 2, but we're like, all right, let's just wrap it up. And after episode 1, she's like, yeah, I'm out, I'm done, I have no interest in it whatsoever. And I was like, all right, I have to know, and good God. Holy crap, what the fuck happened? Like, so for those
who I thought it was good.
Seen it, okay, and I great. And I will definitely give you the time you deserve to discuss why you liked it. But first, let me get
my I might out. Have a hard time articulating it, I guess, but
let me just go in my little rant, and then you can tell me where you disagree with me. So, season 1 was great. It was started out as a show that was funny, but it had just enough drama in it where you, like, you had that little, you cared about the characters, right? It wasn't just goofy. It wasn't just stupid, like, ha, ha, ha. Like, these people had lives. Like, the main character was dealing with obviously some major issues, including, like, ex-marital problems. You could see, like, they were setting up a few story arcs that was kind of interesting. Then season 2 came out, and it shifted. It was kind of like half and half. It was, like, still pretty funny, but had a way more drama, and as you pointed out, Kevin, a psychological growth. But it had a few episodes that were, like, kind of dark and kind of like, okay, this is a little too serious. Like, I want to watch something that's lighthearted and kind of at least somewhat funny and silly. And then season 3 is just straight up drama. Like, it stops there is no comedy in the third season at all. It is just a depression fest from episode one through the end of the show, as far as I can tell.
That seems like a bait and switch, you know? Like, here, we're giving you this show, and it's a great comedy, ha ha ha, and you're like, great, I'm invested in this, and then you're like, season two, you're like, did I miss something? And then, like, season three, you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's a show that you kind of watch. I remember for the first, like, when people tell me about it, because I saw it, I jumped on the Ted Lasso train pretty late. People were like, dude, it's just a good, like, it's a good feel show. Like, you watch it and you're like, oh, people aren't pure shit. The world, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe worth saving. Maybe people are good. And then season two is like, nah, not really. Like, ha ha ha. Like, we have a few kind of jokes, but yeah, people are kind of crap. And then season three is like, yeah, everything's terrible and we should all kill ourselves. Like, jeez. What the fuck? Not only that, but
there's some. They wrap up each.
Hold on. Let me. Let me. I'm almost done. I promise. Here's the thing that really annoyed the shit out of me. And Kevin, I challenge you to tell me that I'm wrong. And if I am, go rewatch the show and once again after what I'm about to say.
Which character? Come on.
And apparently, no, not character. Tell me. Okay. Here's every episode. Okay. Not every episode. Here's almost every episode of season three and a chunk of season two and less so in season one. But they have a device in the show that they completely begin to fall on that is really – like once it's one of those things like once you see it, you can't unsee it and it completely ruins the show for you. At least it did for me. Almost every single scene is structured in the same exact way. There's a person that comes up and asks someone, usually a main character, why something just happened or why they just did something. And instead of giving them a straightforward answer, they sit back, slow piano music plays, and every single time they tell some stupid, cliched story from their fucking childhood or from when they were younger. Trying to illustrate this benign point instead of like just fucking answering questions. Imagine that every time you come up to a human being and you go, hey, why did you just do that? And
you mean every reply is a sarcastic quip about some kind of reference that only you...
No, it's not a quip. It's a really, really lazy, pointless... Okay. All right, here's a brief example, Jerry, since you're not going to watch this and spoil anything. There's a part in season three where they're having a game and there's like a point and the fans are like frustrated with the way they're playing. And as they're walking off the field, somebody yells, you guys are playing like a bunch of faggots. And one of the players on the team gets really pissed because one of the players on the team is gay, and he climbs into the stands and starts like beating the hell out of this fan, right? And afterwards, he gets like suspended and whatever. And there's like
news coverage, yeah.
There's news coverage, and they're interviewing one of the coaches, and they go to the coach, and they're like, "Hey, like they ask him about that, like you know, do you think it like this is acceptable?" He's like, "No, like you can't do that, you can't like punch fans," And they kind of ask, like, well, how do you feel about this? And he just sort of, like, reclines in his chair. Again, the slow piano music plays. And he tells this 10-minute fucking story where when years ago he said a mean thing to somebody and that person got upset. And that person had a right to be upset about it. So... That's the moral that we learn from this. Instead of just saying like, hey, you know what? You don't know what people are going through. Some fan yelled something really inappropriate and triggered somebody and, you know, he got angry and he punched him in the face. It's a 10-minute fucking story about how he also once said a bad thing to somebody and that person was upset. And it's like this whole like, the light comes from the sky and we totally understand the point of like this lesson that we're being taught. This is the entire, like, every scene is like this. No one has a normal human-like conversation or interaction. Everybody just goes, hey,
isn't it really just the Ted Lasso character does that a lot? I mean, I get it. I get in your example it was the other coach guy. I forgot his name.
Yeah, so here's the thing. In the first season, and I might not be remembering, but in the first season and a little less so in the second one, it is usually him, right? So they usually come to him and say, because his, you know, his approach is a little unconventional, and he's like the weird American guy in Britain trying to
not only he's weird for Americans, but yeah. Bless you. Did you blow out your mic?
I hope I muted. No, I muted it.
Oh, you did. Good.
I didn't want to sneeze right over our viewers. Anyway, so and that's the thing. Like, it's because he's bringing like a completely alien.
Like, he's an alien
perspective.
No. He's bringing like an alien perspective from from across an the ocean pond. Of sorts.
Yeah. But,
so that makes sense. By season three, this is how every conversation in the show takes place. Kevin, look at this. When they go to talk about the Super League, right? They're starting to soccer league, and they invite Rebecca in to talk about it. What does she do? She tells this fucking story about how they can't take soccer away. They can't take
football
away from the poor people. Everything is a fucking story. The episodes grow from 30 minutes in length to an hour long. Because this is how every conversation in the show takes place. No one just, hey, why did you have that sandwich for lunch? Oh, because I like salami and cheese. It goes, well.
When I was younger.
Don't forget to lean back. Put your feet on the desk.
Yeah. When I was a young boy, my father worked 18 hours in a salami factory. Dude, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. Getting through season three was one of the most painful experiences ever. And I will remind you, I had a limb ripped from my body. But you know what? It was quick. The person that hit me with the car wasn't like, when I first saw the automobile, I told myself, they just hit me with a car and almost killed me. That was great. That was so much better than watching the third season of fucking Ted Lasso. And I still have an episode left. Oh, my God.
Why are you going to watch it then?
Because I have to know how it ends. I have to.
Is this the last season? Was it canceled? Yeah.
No, it wasn't canceled.
No, it ended clean.
It ended. Yeah. And because, as I said, like, people said they stuck the ending, and I want to watch it. But holy shit, like, at some point, I am amazed that nobody stepped in and said, guys, why the fuck is the entire show people
telling? It was fine.
And the thing is, like, the stories aren't even that interesting. It's not like when they get to the point, you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, no. That's really deep. It's just a different version of the same story. Like, I just gave you an example. Like, oh, this guy yelled a bad word. Oh, well, I had a time when I yelled a bad word at somebody. So, you know. There it is. We're all assholes.
The whole thing, every character arc is following a modern philosophical / psychological, like, let's say, health journey. So, and it's nothing new. I mean, these kind of concepts have been around for a while, but it's definitely thick with that. And I think that's what you're reacting to, is like it kind of goes into overdrive by the third season, and they're trying to like wrap up everybody's quote unquote psychological growth and whatever.
But there is no growth. But that's the thing. I didn't see any growth. It didn't resolve anything. Like the whole storyline with Nate, they build up. Okay, so again, Jerry, just for your sake, they built up this sort of rivalry where. When Lasso joins the team in the beginning, there's this guy who is called the Kit Man, and he's sort of like the guy that like he cleans the jerseys. He's like the joke of the team. Like, people throw their dirty towels at him, you know.
He's
like
the water boy.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, towel boy.
He recognizes his genius and allows him to have input on the team. And it turns out this guy is really smart and can really he has some really good ideas. So. And he gives him a chance. He promotes him to, like, be one of the coaches, one of the assistant coaches. By the end of season Two, their relationship sort of falls apart, and this guy turns on Ted Lasso, joins a rival team, and basically just, like, supposedly, like, he hates him. So season two ends with this, like, rivalry. Like, this guy that he basically mentored is now his, like, you know, his worst enemy. He's turned on him, and season three is going to be this epic thing between the two of them. You know, is this lighthearted, goofy American guy who's teaching everybody to, you know, that, you know, to be their best. Like, he tries to bring out the best in people versus this unappreciative prick who basically was given this incredible chance and was recognized for his supposed genius by this person, and, you know, like, no one else would have given him a chance, but this person did, and he turns on him, and he's, like, definitely, like, the negative person in the story?
The antagonist?
Antagonist, thank
you.
Yeah.
Again, whiskey, you have to excuse me. So he becomes the antagonist, right? So you think, okay, season three is going to be, like, between these two people, okay? They built it up, and then nothing happens. Nothing. Like, that whole, like, thing is never explored. Like, they're just this guy who turned on Ted Lasso. His name is Nate, by the way. Sort of has, like, he just has his little story arc. He sort of coaches.
You realize
team and,
everybody
and really well, and then he changes his mind and goes, "Oh, I was wrong all along," because he got to bang an attractive waitress, and all of a sudden, as soon as he gets a girlfriend, he's like, "You know, I wasn't a good person." And then
dude,
he becomes a good
wait,
person
I
again.
And the way and you're
that's
talking,
the whole story arc.
The way you're talking is like so. So each of the characters follows a sort of psychological profile of, like, different types of, let's say, childhood trauma. So, like, they're all following a certain kind of, like, trauma path in life, and then they're showing them grow through it and heal that pain. That's the common theme through all the characters.
Okay.
You have,
yeah,
like,
I
you know, the,
yeah.
the executive...
Okay.
Woman, I forgot that her name,
Rebecca.
Her character. Yeah, Rebecca. And then, like, they're all going through their own kind of, like, life paths with like a generational trauma behind it, and they're all just trying to heal out of it. So they did kind of a good job. If you're into that, I mean, that's sort of what I'm seeing here. Is you're not into those sort of angles of story, but, like, essentially they just took so many, you know, I don't know how many characters there are. You got, like, at least eight of them or so, and they all sort of go through them. And it's, to me, it sounded like eight examples of, like, healing childhood trauma. I could almost, with a little research, I could even pick them out.
So the childhood trauma thing is right. Yes. Lasso deals with the
father that abandoned him in one way
father.
Or another.
Well, did the father abandon or did he die?
He died. Yeah.
He died.
I actually
and
forgot how he died. Did he kill himself?
And then I don't remember. He might have. And then the mom, who never really gave them a chance to heal from it. Then you have, you've got, what's his name? Jamie, who is dealing with his alcoholic father.
Mm-hmm.
Different. And then you
that's
have,
abuse, yeah.
Right, there's abuse. And then you have, well, Rebecca doesn't have... It's weird. They hint on Rebecca.
That's a
thing,
well.
But mostly, it's her husband that fucked her up.
Well, but I mean, it is tied to her mom and how the mom, like, stuck by
an
abusive father, and, like, she hated her mother
right.
for doing that.
Right, and then you have Nate, whose father told him he was bad at playing violin. But that whole thing was.
It's the classic, like, you're not good enough, and so it's a, you know, a person that grows up with very, very low self-esteem and takes on the father's traits and then starts doing it
right
himself.
So in that regard, fair enough. That's a good setup.
That's like a narcissism track.
But then they throw other things like, what's her name? What's the name of the young woman who does the PR firm who decides that she's gay for two episodes and then
sure
and then all of a sudden just decides she's not what is her name
I would think it would be called bi
Well, I mean, whatever. The point is,
I mean, it's pretty simple.
Right, right. I just didn't understand that story arc at all. I didn't understand the point of it, but okay.